Okay, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, please. 1 Peter chapter 5. This is by way of announcements. We're going to have another business meeting May 24th, and that'll be in the bulletin. It's John and Megan Slapen have come forward for baptism and church membership, which is exciting. And so I got to hear their testimonies, and they just want a little bit of time to prepare their testimonies before they come before the church. So we'll have a business meeting May 24th, and then following that, look towards having a baptism, too, in fact. So, okay, I'll just make that announcement there. So 1 Peter chapter 5. And we'll stand for the reading of God's word, if you're able to, and we'll read verses 10 through 14. Verses 10 through 14. I'll read if you'd follow along. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God, wherein ye stand. The church that is in Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we thank you for this passage of Scripture, and we thank you for these four truths that you want of us, that we would be perfect, we would be established, strengthened, and settled. We thank you that it is the God of all grace that accomplishes this in our life. Lord, it's not our own doing. Lord, we strive for it, but it's with the aid and power of the Holy Spirit. We pray that you would open up our eyes and encourage us in these areas. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think you may be seated. Just give me 1 minute here. I've got to open up the right file. Okay. So last week we started into the second half of verse 10. That after we've suffered a while, that he would make us to be perfect, established, strengthened, and settled. We talked a little bit about that word perfect, and we see a couple different Greek words used for perfect. The one is teleos, and it has to do with spiritually mature, rounded. This one here, kartatizo, it means to complete thoroughly. This is the Strong's definition, to complete thoroughly, i.e. repair, literally or figuratively, or adjust, fit, frame, mend, perfectly joined together, prepare, restore. It's a verb. In Matthew 4:21, I believe we looked at this verse last week, and it's not in the sense that we're using it for the Christian, but it gives you an understanding of what it means. And going on thence, he, Jesus, saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, mending. So when we think of that word perfect in this context, it means to be mended. And we saw that some of the other terms were to restore. Talking to a coworker today, and she was talking about how her husband has been working to restore an old vehicle. And that's one of the things that the Lord does to us. And isn't it great to know that we can have come from any number of different backgrounds, but no matter what kind of background, we trust Christ as our Savior, he does a work in us. He starts to restore us. And he takes us to a state better than how we started. When you restore a vehicle, you still There's usually still some Bondo here and there, and it's not quite perfect. It's not the same as factory settings or how it came out of the factory, but when we trust Christ as our Savior, we're made better than how we started off. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. This is a slightly different meaning of the same, with the same Greek word used. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. And this is a phrase, an English phrase that's used here. "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." That's another aspect of being perfect, is where we are perfectly joined together, like a jigsaw puzzle, where we know that Scripture tells us that we are to, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and other places, that we are a body. And the Lord wants us to be fit together as a body of believers in the context of the local church. So perfectly joined together. Take a look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. We talked about restoring. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Where you know, when a person falls into sin, that the body of believers, the local church, is not just looking for a punitive sort of action on that person. They're not just looking to teach that person the lesson or make an example out of that person. God does that. He makes examples out of people. He did that with Ananias and Sapphira. And we read how that the fear of God moved on the people. But our purpose is to restore them to fellowship. Of course, if they have sinned, if they've done something wrong, there needs to be that repentance, that needs to be that that understanding that they've done wrong. It's not a matter of just ignoring what happened. And we read about the spirit of meekness, that it has to be done in, considering themselves, lest thou also be tempted. We are all mortal flesh, aren't we? Capable of doing the same things. Okay, let's take a look in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 21. We'll read verses 20 and 21. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. "Now the God of peace that brought again the dead from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." So make you perfect in every good work to do his will. So perfect. And you notice there, that word has the sense of equipping, right? Equipping us to do his will. And that's the beauty of the Lord, is that he's not like some employers that you might have, where your employer expects you to do a job that you've not been trained in. You've never experienced, and you're just expected to do it. And if you fail at it, then you get in trouble. That's not the way, and hopefully that's not the type of employer that some of you have. But sometimes there are employers that behave that way. And God's not that kind of a person. He is not that kind of a God. He equips us for what he would have us to do. Now, a different Greek word, those were using that same Greek word, a different Greek word but the same thought, is a verse that we just quickly flashed over as we were closing last week, and that's in Ephesians chapter 4. And this is kind of like the antonym, the opposite of being perfect. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. That we be henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, wherein they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from which the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So, excuse me, this is not the antonym. That's coming later as we look at verses 14 and 15, the tossed to and fro. We're looking now particularly at verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. It's God's purpose that a local body of believers is like a body that's joined together. Compacted by that which every joint supplieth. You know, in the local church, everyone sort of has an area of service, responsibility, and not just that. You know, it's there that every joint supplieth, and that we meet each other's needs. Just like certain areas of your body, they can't live by themselves. You can't put it in your brain in a glass jar and hope to keep it alive. So our body requires other parts of our body to exist. And same thing with the local church. We each help each other, each joint supplieth. You think about a joint and how everything works together, ligaments, tendons, blood flow, cartilage, bone, all these things that work together. Okay, that next word back in our text is establish. Establish. Now, we have, you know, a person looking at this at first glance might say, well, some of these things just are repetitions. But they're really not. You might look at, for instance, where the Apostle Peter says, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. And you might think, establish and settle means the same thing, but it does not. There's some very strong similarities, but there is also a difference. There are some nuances that we can capture that are important to us. So establish, the Strong's definition is to set fast, to turn resolutely in a certain direction, to confirm, establish, steadfastly set, strengthen. It's a verb. The Webster's 1828 definition for establish is to settle in a state of permanence, to make firm. Settle in a state of permanence, to make firm. We think about the believer. The believer is not supposed to be living an emotional roller coaster. Yes, we understand that there's ups and downs in the Christian life. But our spirit is not supposed to go wild while we're navigating the ups and downs. We're not to lose faith in the Lord. We're supposed to be rooted. We're supposed to be established in the Lord. And you think of that great passage in Psalms 1 through 3, which says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That tree, established, planted by the rivers of water. And some of you have probably needed to move a tree before. And you might have had a tree that's small. You get it out easy. And there's some that are established. We had some junipers here last year, the year before, that we ended up taking out. Those were very established. Established. They were not moving. They took pickaxe and all sorts of tools to get them out. And the believer is supposed to be established, firm. That word also means, as we read the Strong's definition, it means steadfast. Talking about Jesus in Luke 9:51, it says, "And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." Steadfastly set his face. So when we think about being established, it talks about us being steadfast. Steadfast, immovable. As the scripture says, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And that goes hand in hand with being established is abounding in the work of the Lord. And I think that's one of the areas where we can differentiate between establish and settled. Romans 1:11. Let's take a look there, Romans 1:11. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God, writing to the church in Rome. And he says here, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established." Don't let your skepticism, if you have an ounce of skepticism, kind of, don't let it make you go, man, this Paul sometimes seems obnoxious and high on himself. That's not the case. The Lord was using him as an apostle to go and to impart on these churches spiritual gifts. And you know, when we have special speakers come through here, that's one of my prayers. And I think of this verse very often when we have special speakers, that they would come and that they would impart a spiritual gift unto us, that they would preach and teach things that would encourage people and strengthen us. Establish. So he says here, to the end he may be established. So having a spiritual gift that we might be established. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Romans 16:25. "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all the nations for the obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." So now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. Now, you know, when the Apostle Paul says there, my gospel, it's the gospel that of Christ that he was preaching. It's not Paul's version of the gospel. It was Christ's gospel that he was preaching. But you notice there, where does the power come from? "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel." The power to establish us comes from the Lord. And like so many other things in our life, we should be praying for that, saying, "Lord, establish me in the faith. Help me to be immovable. Help me to abound. Help me to be like the tree planted by the rivers of water." 1 Thessalonians, please, chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3. Verses 11 through 13. 1 Thessalonians 3, 11 through 13. "Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So notice there's some things that are connected. It's God that directs our way. And the Lord, verse 12, make you to increase and abound in love one toward another. It's him that increases and abounds our love towards each other and towards all men. Even as we do towards you, to the end, with the purpose, is what he's saying here, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. So you notice here another aspect of this being established is being established in holiness before God. We looked earlier on Sunday about perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So it is the Lord that establishes our hearts in holiness. Now we have to purpose. It doesn't just come on us. By osmosis, we must purpose to do that. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. So to be established in the present truth. As mentioned earlier, this point is somewhat similar to the last point, that God would settle us. I believe a key difference here is that when we're established, we are put into a position to be profitable. When you think about a business that's starting out, I've never seen a business that has started and kaboom, it's established, it's got a healthy clientele, a regular customer base. I mean, you certainly might see it if like a Krispy Kreme or some big franchise opens up in a community. But as far as a company starting from scratch, it's extremely rare for it to just have an immediate stability. And so when you think about a business, they have to build a credibility in a community. They build a customer base. They build goodwill, that's what they call it in the business industry. And it takes a while for a business to have a profit, to bring a profit. And quite often, the owner of the business has to have another job sometimes before that they can actually write themselves a paycheck. They're just usually paying their employees and paying expenses for the first while. Well, when we are established as a Christian, it's so that we can be useful and spiritually profitable for the Lord. So that we are like that tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. So established for spiritual profitability to God. Okay, going back into our text, 1 Peter chapter 5. Now we're looking at the word strengthen. So, just to recap, we hear, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen. Strengthen. So the Strong's on that word is to strengthen, i.e. figuratively, confirm in spiritual knowledge and power. And we get the word strengthen, what that means. The Webster's definition is to make strong or stronger, to add strength to, either physical, legal, or moral, as to strengthen a limb, to strengthen an obligation. You know, those that are carpenters, they know what it's like to say, man, this porch is wobbly. I'm going to strengthen it. I'm going to put a post here. I'm going to do this and do that to strengthen that wobbly porch. And that's what the Lord wants to do with the believer. He wants to strengthen us. Not only does he want to make us perfect, to make us established, but strengthen us, and strengthen us from the inside. So yes, he wants us to be immovable, but he wants us to be strengthened in our core. He doesn't want us to be walking in that spirit of fear. You know, you think of that familiar verse in Romans 8:15. But ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So instead of having a spirit of fear, to having a spirit of confidence, boldness. That's where he wants to strengthen us. Give us a confidence in himself. You think of, you know, verses like Philippians 4:21. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's a great verse to memorize. 1 Corinthians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And when he strengthens us, sorry.
What about 2 Timothy 1:7?
2 Timothy 1:7, yes. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Yes, great verse. He's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So he strengthens us. I think that's something each one of us needs. And you know that the interesting thing about it is that where one person lacks strength, often another person doesn't. And that's one of the things where we can help each other, is where someone can, I mean, if we're all weak in the same areas, you know, the whole body would be collectively weak. But where someone is able to be strong, and they can lift up, succor, using a biblical term, succor others. Okay, that last term there, settle you. Settle you. Okay. To confirm means to confirm. It's a verb. And the idea behind this one is that the believer would not be tossed about spiritually or emotionally, but would be confirmed with deep roots. We read last week, and we just even read this evening, here from Ephesians chapter 4, just to reiterate this point, because we were looking at it from a different point. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. You know, there's so many people, they are dissatisfied with the Christian life. They have not found the well. They're drinking the surface waters. And sometimes surface water is okay if it's like a fresh, you know, stream or you know, just it's like a spring of water, but it's just right under the surface. But sometimes it's kind of mushy water. I remember back in Saskatchewan, we had a well that was really deep, and it had a kind of really high iron content. But then we had some surface water in our field. I was digging a hole in, I don't remember what for, but it was in a field, and some of the surface water filled up my hole. But it wasn't a good water. And so sometimes Christians, they dig a little deep, and they have not found the good well. Not the sulfurous or the one that's full of iron, but actually the good water. And so they're looking for, they're discontent, they're always looking for something new. And as Christians, we should not be looking for something new. We should not be looking for the latest and greatest and most powerful preacher or the latest and greatest book. It's amazing sometimes when you see a bookshelf of books all about the Bible. And, you know, we've got one book, and you'll have shelves and shelves and shelves of books that talk about the Bible. And yet, you know, this is the manual. People sometimes, you know, forget that. I mean, some of these books can be aids. to help us interpret God's word. But we can't look at it as crutches and, oh, I've got to have the book. Well, we have the book. We shouldn't be looking for all these other things particularly in the charismatic movement where it's very much emotionally based. People are looking to see miracles and healings and all sorts of things happen. But what God wants of us is that we'd be firmly planted in a local church, learn, grow, serve. That's why it's important to be a part of a local body of believers. And sometimes you'll have people that they'll attend a church for 2 Sundays, 3 Sundays, and then they'll turn this church for 3 Sundays and this church for, and they're moving about, and they feel that they're, sometimes I've heard them tell me, I can be a blessing in this church, I can be a blessing in this church. God wants faithfulness. He wants each believer to set down roots and to be faithful in that local church. Let's take a look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. This passage speaks of, it uses that same Greek word, and it's for foundation. Luke 6, 47 through 49. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will shew you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Wow, quite literally, we have houses right now that are surrounded by water, that have streams right at their edge. And so this example here with Christ, this is where we get the song of the wise man, the foolish man. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And so that word foundation that we see in verse 49, or verse 48 and 49, laid the foundation on a rock. That's the same Greek word there used for settle you, to have that foundation locked in. He wants us to be settled. He doesn't want us moving, being disturbed by different winds of doctrine. We looked last week also at James chapter 1, verse 5. It talks about if we lack wisdom, that we're to ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth none, it shall be given to him. And then he goes on to speak of the person that is unstable. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Well, we don't want to be like that. We don't want to be driven with the wind emotionally or spiritually in our doctrine. Over here, over there, over here. Take a look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. Now, this doesn't use the same Greek word, but it's the same sense. So Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 through 23. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, By him I say, whether they be in earth or in things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So not to be moved away from the hope of the gospel. Anchored deep. You know, that familiar verse and passage in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 16. Hebrews 6, 16 through 20. For men fairly swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who hath fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. An anchor of the soul. Anchor of the soul. If our soul is anchored deep, then we're not going to be tossed around when things, trials, tribulations, difficulties come our way. When you've seen rocks on a seashore, and you know, some of these big, huge boulders, and the sea smashes it over and over again as the waves come crashing upon it. It's not moving. It might get polished with that action of the water, just like we. We get polished, we get refined as the waves of life keep hitting us. And building patience. Remember the scripture talks about how patience, you know, tribulations bringeth patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. In Romans chapter 5, verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So as we conclude this thought, these four areas, some questions to meditate on. Are we fitly joined together with other believers, or are we islands quite independent of others? We don't want to be an island in the local church. We want to be fitly joined, that word perfect that we looked at. Are you established, or are you tossed about spiritually and emotionally? Are you consistently strengthened in the Lord and in the faith? Are you settled? Settled. Founded. Okay, let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that each one of us would be perfect, established, strengthened, and settled, each of these different areas that we need. And Lord, we know that sometimes something can happen in life that might disrupt some of those areas, one or more of those areas. But we pray that we would quickly get our equilibrium and our balance back. Lord, that we might be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It's your work. We pray that we would abound in it. Pray that you'd be this as we go to prayer now, that you would speak to our hearts and just remind us, Lord, of those requests we need to bring before your throne. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.